This morning, in honor of Christ the King Sunday, our psalm is that familiar and beautiful psalm, Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. This is the word of the Lord. And now as we prepare to hear the word proclaimed, let us pray. Lord, on this Christ the King Sunday, we thank you for gathering all of us together in your name. We pray that you will inspire us with your Spirit. Help us, Lord, to hear your word as you would have us hear it. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord. Amen. Our New Testament reading this morning comes from the Apostle Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. This is the word of the Lord. I love those last two verses. It says, and God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. That leaves very little doubt about the authority that God the Father gave to our Lord Jesus. Well, it has been a long journey since Pentecost Sunday, 27 weeks ago, to be precise. It's what we have called ordinary time, the time from Pentecost until now. And we now reach the end of that long stretch as we celebrate this last Sunday of the church year. This is Christ the King Sunday. Next Sunday will mark a new beginning as we light the first candle of our Advent wreaths and begin preparing for for our dear Savior's birth. As is the case with every transition, in other words, an ending leads to a new beginning. I love this nature of the liturgical year, of endings and beginnings and endings that mirror our own lives and our own seasons of transition. Today is Christ the King Sunday. Most of us have some idea in our heads about what a king is and how kings reign. So what then does it mean to say that this man, Jesus, who died on a cross, is a king? And not just any king, but the King of Kings. How can one word mean so many different things? That is the big question that is before us today. Kings are powerful and almost always willing to do whatever it takes to hold on to their power and even to extend that power when possible. Some of the more triumphal hymns that we sing seem to suggest that Jesus was that kind of king. One of the hymns we'll be hearing later is "Crown Him with Many Crowns, the Lamb upon His Throne." We also sing "Rejoice, the Lord is King, your Lord and King adore." It's good to be a king. Yet it's pretty clear today that we are using the word king in a very different sense when we're talking about Jesus Christ. It's one thing to go there as the culmination of the whole season of Lent. At least then it feels like we have a whole 40 days to get ready. But Christ the King Sunday, it feels like this claim comes out of nowhere. How can one word mean such different things? What do we mean when we use the word king to speak of an itinerant Galilean rabbi who was crucified between two common criminals? Instead of saving himself, as he had the power to do, instead, he turned the world on its head when he said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." And yet the truth is this: if we mean to understand who Jesus is, then we must return to the foot of the cross. We are a people called not to just be fans of Jesus, but we are called to be his followers. And to do that means that the path is always the same for us, this way of the cross. It is the path that reveals the way of this particular king who chooses the power of love over the love of power. That is the great mystery that is set before us on this day and in a real sense every day of every week in our lives as we journey with Christ. To claim Jesus as king is not about power over others, but about the healing power that forgiveness unleashes. Remember that one of the criminals hanging with Jesus said, "Lord, remember me in paradise. Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And we are sometimes tempted to think that the work of the church is to bring our version of Christian power to bear on the world. It's easy when you read church history to see that mistakes have indeed been made whenever and wherever Christians in authority have tried to do this. Sadly, the Christian record of using power is no better than that of anybody else. It seems that when Christians get all the power, we are inclined to misuse it as anyone else does. The Crusades and the Inquisition bear witness to that. But you see, Jesus lived in the context of Roman imperial power and of Caesar's power and intolerance. In English, whenever we hear this word king, we are taken back to feudal England and to the words that seem to suggest the Christian strategy for using our power is like that of King Arthur, the King Arthur who said, "For might to make right." Over and against this narrative of domination, Christ the King reveals a different way that leads to peace among nations as swords are beaten into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. When Jesus speaks about the kingdom of God, then he means something very different from the power of ancient Rome or of medieval England. Instead, he talks about mustard seeds. Remember that? How the tiniest of seeds, watered and nurtured and pruned, can become something much larger than anyone could possibly imagine. In such a seed, we glimpse the kingdom of God, even if just in the tiniest of ways. And Jesus tells stories about finding something of great value, like faithful relationship, and knowing that it matters more than anything else in our lives. So we are willing to sell all in order to attain it. He reveals the kingdom of God every time he kisses a leper clean, or makes a blind man see, or speaks with a woman at a well and validates her as a human being, or feeds thousands with just a couple of fish and a few loaves of bread. All of Jesus' little stories about the kingdom of God are taken from the real world, from daily life. They are not a denial of the real world, but a deeper dive into it. And it may not be fully here yet, but we do get glimpses if we only have the eyes to see. Christ isn't dead on that cross. Christ is alive in the world and making all things new. It's not always easy to see or to believe because the world is still in so many ways a mess. But in the midst of that mess, God is present, making all things new. And that is God's mission. And as the Apostle Paul reminds us in his prayer for the church in Ephesus, the great, wonderful, frightening privilege of being the church is that we are called, you and I, to follow Christ the King and to share in this work. Not to reinvent the wheel or carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. We don't have to bring peace on earth. No, that job is already taken. But we do have to, with God's help, embrace our calling to respond to that vision by singing, "Let It Begin With Me." We are called, by virtue of our baptism, to be instruments of peace. That is just the deal we signed on for, and to share in this ministry of reconciliation. If we are to move closer to the promise of goodwill to all that we will be singing about in a month, then we have to learn how to show goodwill to our neighbor. Jesus empowers others and uses his authority to wash the feet of those he leads. He spends his life on them, literally every last ounce of it. He gives his life in order to bring life. Jesus' rule brings peace, even in the midst of terror. He says, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." Jesus' authority originates from doing the will of God, and it is eternal. When Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world, but rather from another place," he was teaching us that his kingdom does not operate by the same values as the rest of the world might think. It does not use the same means or have the same objectives as all of the other kingdoms in this world. Jesus was not teaching us to be disengaged or uninvolved in this world. And he certainly would not have us become inactive bystanders, idly standing while the world passes by. Rather, as we live and work and act in this world, we are called to do so differently than the world would have us live. We are to be guided by a different set of values and means, to be guided by the Holy Spirit and the teachings of Jesus Christ, our Savior. In our world today, we need to let Jesus speak. Today, we celebrate Christ the King, No longer the baby Jesus in the manger that we will celebrate in a month from now, but rather a carpenter, one who spoke of peace, someone who seemed to always outsmart religious leaders by answering their questions with yet more questions. A man who was asked by his confused disciples if they could sit on his right and left in the kingdom. A person who turned the law on its head and who turned the understanding of society upside down. A human who placed orphans above kings and poor widows above the rich and powerful. A king who rode into Jerusalem for his triumphal entry on a donkey. Not a king with a gold crown on a steed, but a king who had a crown of thorns. And rather than living by the sword, he died on the cross. A king who has defeated death and has been resurrected, who has angels worshiping him, who calls us to be his and taught us to be countercultural. A king, our God, who will come again in full glory, no longer a baby in a manger, but God riding on the clouds, descending upon the earth, escorted by 10,000 times 10,000 angels and triumphant sons and daughters, the King and the Judge, the one who we will all stand before at the end of time, the one who was and is to come. Let me conclude today by just reading from Scripture some of the names that have been assigned to Jesus Christ. Today we honor him as Christ the King. But throughout Scripture, throughout history, Jesus has been recognized for his power in many ways. Just listen to this list of the ways in Scripture that Jesus has been named. He is the Advocate, the Almighty, the Alpha and the Omega, the atoning sacrifice for our sins, the author of life, the author and perfecter of our faith, the author of salvation, bread of God, bread of life, chief cornerstone, good shepherd, great high priest, head of the church, heir of all things, holy and true, hope, king eternal, king of Israel, king of the Jews, King of kings, King of the ages, Lamb of God, Light of the world, the living one, the Lord of all, the Lord of lords, the Prince of peace, the ruler of the kings of the earth, our Savior, truth, the way, the wisdom of God, wonderful counselor, and the Word of God. Remember that Christ is all of these things, all at the same time, and for all of us at once. For you, for me, Christ the King. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, we your people acclaim you. We praise you and we exalt you. We bless your holy name. It is your love that is revealed in the life and death of Jesus. It is your power that is seen in his resurrection. And it is your majesty that is made known by his ascension into heaven to be at your side. Help us, O God, to always keep your power and your authority and your love and your majesty in our minds and to never neglect the doing of your will. Help us to be obedient to the word you place in our hearts and our minds. Father of us all, we believe that Christ Jesus should rule within our worship and our life together as your people. We believe, too, that he should rule over our work in the world and within our own family life. And indeed, we profess that he wants to be Lord of our lives, the one who is supreme in deciding how we should relate to our friends and our neighbors. Help us to make this manifest in what we do each and every day, in how we make decisions about how we spend our time and our money, in how we employ our hands and in how we direct our feet, in how we speak and in how we think, in how we rest and in how we work. O God, in this time with us, Christ has shown his authority over wind and wave. We pray that he may bring peace and calm to those whose lives are troubled. And Lord, we pray today for all of those whose names have been lifted before you, and even those whose names have not been spoken aloud. You know, Lord, our needs. Thank you, God most holy, for hearing our prayers. All these things we ask of you in the name of Christ Jesus, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, and who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now let us respond to God's word by returning our gifts to him.